co-hosting with Jason Davies and Janice Keter Thompson. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, here we are once again.
Great
Exciting.
To be here.
Exciting, yeah. We're getting a little bit of publicity on Facebook anyway. So,
cool.
Our webpage is almost done. We'll get that up pretty soon. What other exciting things about Insight Petaluma do we need to talk about? Nothing?
Well, the fact that we have an exciting guest with us might be good to talk about.
We do. We do. Okay, so Insight Petaluma business is over, and let's welcome our guest. Janice, you want to introduce her?
I'd love to introduce her, Lulabel Seitz. She's the valedictorian at Petaluma High, my alma mater, and it was Cut the Mic.
Yes.
Is how she got to be well-known with newspaper articles and news and NPR, Washington Post, probably Times, all different.
NBC News.
Yeah, NBC News. It made a really big splash.
Yes, it did.
And I'm just proud to know her and excited to learn about her future, what her plans are. She's going to be going to Stanford. And it's just a real honor to have her here today. And so
welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. So, what do we want to talk about?
I was just going to say it might be useful for the listeners to just get a little bit of background. I'm sure most people are aware of what we've been referring to, but maybe she could explain a little bit.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Okay, so I was the valedictorian at Petaluma High School last year, and there was a lot of issues with my so-called valedictorian speech. For one, they tried to make me audition for it, and then they censored it a lot. And what it came down to was that they specifically told me I couldn't include the issue of sexual assault in a list of issues my class overcame in my speech, which I found unfair, so I did anyway. And then they cut my microphone.
Wow.
And what was the result?
So then I only emailed one newspaper, which was the Press Democrat, and I wanted them to put the pictures of my speech being cut off in their annual graduation slideshow, but then a lot of different news companies ended up picking it up, which was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. So, at the time that it happened, when the mic was cut, how did you feel? What was your reaction when you did that?
I kind of anticipated this much because the people running my school were not very open people or thoughtful people. So my immediate reaction was just, I'm going to stand on that stage until they turn it back on, which didn't happen. So I ended up finishing my speech by yelling it out, sort of. But
yeah, I saw that. That was pretty cool.
It's a good argument for a portable PA system.
I actually reviewed the speech today, and it was just so harmless, and it was actually a great speech.
Thank you.
I was very impressed, and if they just would have let you go on, this would have just, moved to the next day.
Yeah, just to clarify that, so the speech that we all saw, because you posted the unedited version, was that verbatim of what you had actually provided to them, that they actually edited?
Not exactly. Okay. That's what I was planning to say. They had a different version, I went off script, but the thing was, I went off script in my speech towards the beginning of my speech, because they didn't put my script on my podium.
Oh.
So they actually should have cut it a lot sooner if their argument is that they were just cutting for going off script.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Who was the person who actually made the call to mute the mic? Do you know that?
I'm not sure. I think it was Assistant Superintendent Dave Rose, or at least that's what people told me. But it's kind of funny because nobody's actually owning up to cutting the mic.
Has there been any sort of apology or?
Oh, no, nothing of the sort. It's really unfortunate. And the school board, there's this video of the school board making fun of me for it, too.
What?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No, somebody, I can't say who it was because they want to be anonymous, but basically they were in a school board meeting, and it ended up that they got a video of the school board making fun of me. So,
wait, where is that video?
I have it.
Is that something you're planning to share?
Possibly, yeah. With the upcoming elections, perhaps people should see how the school board is really behaving.
a lot of people are unsure about who to support through school board right now. And, you know, any kind of information like that, I think, could be useful to contrast the various candidates. Obviously, we have three incumbents that are running for re-election, and then we have some new candidates. In fact, one of them is...
My mom.
Your mom. That's right. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so my mom's running for school board. After this video got released, she was really upset, and she thought she should run for school board. And she actually does have some experience because she was PTA president for a while, and she was PTA at my sister's school, too. So I do think she has experience for the job, and I think it's good to have someone who isn't already in the school board, specifically those three, to come into the school board and give new opinions.
That's great. And your mother's name?
It's Kimmy Seitz.
Kimmy Seitz. Okay. So that's great. Well, I imagine she'll be in one of the upcoming school board forums, so we'll get to learn more about her. And you said a website is coming?
Yes.
Cool. I look forward to that.
And I understand you're designing the website?
She says she will, but I probably will end up doing it. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's great. I mean, you're very courageous, I think, in what you did. And honestly, it gives me a lot of hope for the future that there are people like you that are willing to stand up and speak out on issues that they feel strongly about. And obviously, this, not to get into it, but this stemmed from a very personal issue. But it's something that it happens a lot, and it's something we can't tolerate. We need to stand up for that stuff, and I'm glad that you have been. And I imagine you're going to continue to be vocal and standing up for yourself in life as you go forward. So that's really cool. Let's find out a little bit more about what you're doing now. And obviously, you're going to go off to Stanford, but in the meantime, what are you up to?
Well, I run a tutoring and piano lessons business, so I think I have like 12 students right now or something, and I'm going to drive home from Stanford to keep doing that. It's a lot of fun, teaching mainly little kids just piano.
Wow, and how many students do you have?
Yeah, I think I have between 10 and 12. Some of those are just for like math and other subjects, but I think something like that.
So you already have your own business.
Yeah.
Very enterprising.
That's pretty cool.
You're majoring in...
Applied mathematics and economics.
Wow. So way past calculus. You're...
Yeah.
And how do you plan to put that to use once you're done with college?
I want to be a professor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's upper great. Division mathematics.
Wow.
I can also see her getting into some politics.
Yeah.
She came to the Petaluma City Council meeting, the one on the tubs.
Interesting.
It was her first experience at a council meeting, and she got up and spoke, and I just see that you have a bright future in front of you, not just as a professor, but as an actual activist, and I'm excited to see that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You don't teach adults at all?
I do. Yeah, I have a few adults. Clients too.
And you're teaching sight reading as well?
Yeah, or? Just everything, music theory.
What are your rates? Just curious.
My standard rate is $35 an hour, but I charge on a sliding scale, so if you can't afford that, then I just do it for less.
It's very reasonable.
We can't talk about business on community radio.
Sorry,
unfortunately.
About that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just curious for a personal standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to our show last week, but we had the Petaluma Police Department resource officers here with us, the ones that are now on the CASA and Petaluma High School campuses.
Oh, really? They have police officers now?
Yeah, yeah. So looking at you just coming out of high school, how do you feel about that? I mean, you were in school when we'd lost them years ago. They had been on there before. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Oh, we did. This was years ago.
2013, I think, was the last time we had them.
And now we have them on campus again. What do you think about that?
I'm kind of skeptical. I don't know who they are, but I've had some really bad experiences with policemen, just maybe one or two in particular. I'm worried about that. And then also in the news, there's been a lot of news about, like, issues with resource officers in high schools, particularly with, like, resource officers, like, sexually assaulting students and stuff. So I haven't met them, so I can't make a judgment. I'm just a little bit skeptical.
Yeah. Well, now, when you were going to school at Petaluma High School, did you feel safe on campus?
I think I had extra circumstances that caused me not to.
Yeah.
But I feel like the general kid, well, a lot of girls told me they felt unsafe, but I feel like the general kid may have felt more safe.
Okay. And why do you think the female students were more prone to feeling unsafe?
The main reason is because Petaluma High School, particularly Petaluma City Schools, has a really bad history of allowing perpetrators of sexual assault and stuff to just stay on campus and then telling the victims not to talk about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that this happened to a lot of girls at my school who I personally know, and they all just didn't enjoy going to school anymore.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disturbing.
Yeah, very disturbing.
Yeah,
but it's a fact. I mean, I have a friend whose daughter, it wasn't on the campus, but it was at a bunch of high school kids at a party and, you know, date rape drugs and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Actually, there was
the outcome was very bad.
I remember there was a teacher that I think was let go a few years ago, a science teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Not naming names, but my daughter had told me about that.
Yeah.
I think he's since passed away.
Yeah, he has.
But yeah, it's definitely something that we need to fix. It's not something that can be tolerated at all.
Well, it seems like it's not just a school problem. It's more of a community problem.
Yeah.
Because in you know, after the cutting of the mic, the Argus Courier's editorial, you know, it was a horrible editorial. It basically just talked about what happened and then turned around and blamed the victim. And this is so typical of our local newspaper. And that's what's really disturbing. It seemed as though the paper worked very close with the school to come up with this editorial. And that's what was pretty disturbing. And the other thing that was disturbing about this is that you had to actually interview, or, you know, they had to choose you instead of, it should have been on your accomplishments and your grades. And it seems like there was just something odd with your being the valedictorian for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And, you know, because, I mean, it was obvious that you had the highest grades because some of your grades, you actually went to the junior college, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you had to calculate your grade average to show that you were the highest.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's sometimes in Petaluma, between the Argus Courier and the schools, it's still really good old boy.
Hmm.
And deciding on, you know, maybe somebody wasn't happy because their child wasn't the valedictorian.
I think that's
with the possibility of how this pot got stirred. And it's unfortunate.
So it's not just based on who has the highest GPA?
Not anymore. Before this year it was, but now there's an audition system, and the principal, I believe, hand selects the valedictorian from this point forward. Yeah.
So that sounds like it's just an insider of somebody that's pushing for their child maybe to be the valedictorian. And that's not how a valedictorian should be chosen.
Well,
it's not by grades and accomplishments.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I have mixed feelings about it. Obviously, if that was the if it had anything to do with you and that was the intention, I completely think that's wrong. On another side, I mean, maybe the idea is, in addition to considering a GPA, there are other factors. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, because grades are important. You know, I'm not saying they're not, but you know, maybe they want to take into account other factors. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the accomplishments. I mean, finding out that you teach piano.
Yeah.
You tutor. I mean, you have all these other accomplishments. It's not just the GPA. So she had the highest GPA, and she has all these other accomplishments that should be factored in. But sometimes I think baseball is more of a factoring system than what Lulabelle's, what her interests were.
I'm a musician, so I keep going back to the piano. Stylistically, you say you play jazz.
Yes.
So are you an improviser?
Yeah, I teach music composition, too, so.
Wow, and so you've written your own stuff?
Yeah, I've done a couple of short films and then just other stuff, yeah.
How cool. And are you doing this with a computer, or?
No, just straight piano.
Straight piano.
Yeah.
So when you're at Stanford, what are you going to do with music on top? Because I have a cousin who is now an emergency room physician, but he also started off with a voice choir in San Francisco, and then he ended up getting a degree. He was a conductor, and he taught at Davis in art, and then he ended up back east. He graduated from Williams originally, And now he's an emergency room doctor, and he's still conducting. And so what do you plan on doing with your music?
I'm definitely joining a jazz band, and then I'm just teaching even more piano at Stanford, just, like, for my classmates for free, because so many people want to learn piano, but they always think it's too late once they get past, like, the age of 10. So I want to make sure.
Never too late.
Yeah.
Until it's too late.
Yeah, right. Until that last breath.
Yeah, it's funny. I saw my dad recently, and he's very accomplished, had a successful business software company that he had, and I was playing guitar for him, and he said, you know, it's the one thing I wish I had done is learned an instrument. And I said, Dad, there's still time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
If you're ever looking for a guitar player, let me know. Anyway, you're going to keep doing music. You're able to do that and also do well in school. Do you do anything that's non-academic oriented other than music?
Oh, yeah, drawing, and then I write novels, too. So I'm working on getting those published and stuff. I have, like, a writing
You write novel. Novels.
You do.
More than one novel.
Yeah, I'm on, I think, my third one right now. So
she's an amazing writer. I've seen some of her writing, and when I read it, I thought, oh, my God. This woman is going to Stanford, and she could already have a degree, you know, in literature. I mean, in the way she writes, it's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. So are these novels you've published?
I'm working on it right now. Yeah, one of them is being edited, so
So how do you have time to do, like, normal kid goofing off kind of stuff?
I mean, there's lots of time if you just, you know, plan out your day and just make sure to stick to a time frame. There's lots of time.
Where do you think you learn to manage your time so well?
I think it was during high school because I did have to go to the junior college, like, almost every night to take my math classes. So it was a big time crunch there. Yeah.
Wow. So you have siblings? You have a little sister?
Yes, I have two little sisters.
Okay, and how old are they? And I know that you spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah, one is 12 and then one just turned 3.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Sounds like you're a great big sister.
I try.
And a good influence on them.
I try.
Yeah. I met her dad. Her dad's a really interesting man. He does carpentry.
Yes.
Yeah. And a really, just a very nice person. Yeah. And I can't wait to meet your mom.
And so you're originally from?
I was born in San Francisco.
Okay.
And then I lived near Marin for a while. And then I moved here, I think, in 2006.
Okay. So. And your parents?
Oh, my mom is Filipino, and then my dad is just white.
Okay. Just white.
You know, white.
It's interesting. I did that, one of those services where you send in your DNA, and it's amazing how much I found out that I wasn't as white as I thought.
Huh.
So you never know.
Yeah.
But I don't know in your situation. But and have you been to the Philippines?
No, I wish, but it's, like, unstable right now.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I hear about that.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So so you like Petaluma, I imagine?
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Is it a place you'd like to come back to after graduation, or you want to just get the heck away?
Well, I want to teach at Stanford, so I'll probably live in Palo Alto.
Okay.
Wow. You're headed in the right direction.
Yes, you are.
And when are you going to be moving down to Palo Alto?
September 17th.
Oh, so you're packing up?
Yeah. Procrastinating.
You are?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Are you in a dorm?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have your roommate or?
No. The day I move in is when I find out who my roommate is. So.
Okay.
Or when she finds out who you are. Yeah, that'll be exciting.
So did you get a scholarship to get in?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That makes it easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very expensive in Palo Alto these days. I remember I grew up there, and I think when my dad bought our house, it was like, I think $20,000 or $30,000 or something, and then later I remember he had to do a mortgage to fund something, and he got it appraised at 70, and I think when he ended up selling it in the 80s, it was in the 4s or something like that.
It's about 3.5 million at minimum.
And it's an old, cheap Eichler. Yeah. There's so many of these things. And people love them.
They love them.
But they have so many issues. I mean, flat roof. It was always leaking. Very small rooms.
Maybe eight floors.
They were cheap.
Right.
I mean, that was the point.
That's
mass produced cheap housing. And now it's like this allure of, Eichlers. You know, Steve Jobs had one.
Yeah. I have a friend that has one. You know, they had to refurbish it because of all the same problems.
But there's some nice things about them. You know, big, windows.
Right.
And, nice space, skylights. That ours always leaked. But you're going to enjoy Palo Alto, I think, and Stanford's great. Used to bike there all the time, and lots of stuff to do there. It's a big difference than living in Petaluma, for sure.
And did any of your friends make it to Stanford, or are you going alone?
One other person from Petaluma made it in.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
And do you know the person?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. So you have at least one ally there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An acquaintance. Yeah. But it's good to go and meet new people.
Exactly.
I'm sure you'll have no trouble making friends. In fact, you might have to fend people off. I kind of wanted to get back to that. What was it like going from who you are in Petaluma to all of a sudden being on the world stage? I mean, people have been talking about you. I mean, you have celebrity status at this point.
It's really weird, especially I went to the Stanford party and everybody there recognized me from the news. I was like, no. It's really weird. I don't know. I don't mind, but it's not something I ever thought would happen or wanted necessarily to happen. So...
Well,
interesting.
You seem very humble, and so I imagine you're not trying to leverage this to, do anything but what you were already planning to do.
Yeah.
But you certainly could.
Yeah.
How many interviews have you done over the past few months?
A lot. Upwards of 50, I would say. There have been so many. Yeah.
Wow.
It's been a lot.
Yeah. Well, we know you've been interviewed a lot, and we thought about, should we have her on? And we thought, we need to follow up and see what's going on, how's the story continuing for you? And I'm really glad you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was going to ask you, you said everybody recognized you when you went to the party. Did you, before this event and attained celebrity status, did you consider yourself... a shy person or an outgoing person? You were already the outgoing.
I'm pretty outgoing,
outgoing.
In general.
I kind of thought so, but yeah. So that probably worked to your advantage through all of this, too. Yeah. Yeah, it would have probably been very scary for a shy person. So, but then again, the shy person probably wouldn't go up on stage and do what you did. But I'm really proud of you for doing that.
Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
Yeah.
And I was wondering about that. Have you had... much negative feedback from it? Because I know most of it's been positive. Most have been on your side. But I'm just curious about that because that's always the flip side.
Two things. So basically the guy who, did bad stuff, so he got a bunch of people, random people on the internet to go and cyberbully me. So
Whoa.
It was kind of funny though because I traced it all back. It was a little bit scary because I was in Disneyland at the time and they said, we're going to come find you in Disneyland. That was creepy.
I think there's laws against that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you consider pursuing any legal action?
Legal action's hard to achieve, so I just kind of ignored it. I thought it was kind of funny. And then the school board. Yeah, that was pretty bad. And you went to the first school board meeting, and then the second school board meeting was really weird because a lot of Petaluma High teachers went and supported the principal. I don't know if they realized that meant that they were not supporting me or all of the people who agreed with me, but that's what they did. So
yes. It was very strange. I went to both meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And the first meeting, Lulabelle was in Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And so probably about 14 of us got up and spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And people were very eloquent. And they spoke from the heart. And there were attorneys there that were speaking, community leaders, talking to the school board. And the school board just seemed to be not engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just so strange. On that particular meeting, the last speaker got up and started praising the school board. And it was just kind of an odd thing after hearing all this emotion, raw emotion from young people, and then getting up and doing that. And then at the next meeting, people got up and spoke again. And then all of a sudden, teachers started getting up and praising the school board. It was like it was a setup. Nobody would go to a meeting and start praising the school board unless the teachers were decided together that that's what they were going to do. So there was definitely a division.
They were stacking the deck.
They were stacking the deck. And it was really disturbing. And that's why I think it's, you know, we need to look at the bigger picture and where we want our school to be and what kind of a school board we want.
Well, and elections are coming up,
right,
and it is an opportunity for people to make different choices on who's on the school board. I've had some interactions with the principal of Petaluma High, actually. He seems like a very nice person who seems very bright, but I don't know him as well as you do. But he was very responsive when I sent him some emails about a totally separate concern. But I don't know.
I think they care, but I think sometimes it gets just too close to home. Mm-hmm. People are too connected in this community. Mm-hmm. And when you're so connected, you can't see the bigger picture. And I think that's what happens with the school board.
It seems like there's a lot of concern about legal exposure as well. And some of that might be playing a role. But, again, I'm no expert in these matters.
I just find it kind of interesting that the very people who are doing this are criticizing the city council, but yet see the school board as being holier than thou.
Right.
You know?
That's true. Yeah. Well, that's because the school board is kind of underground more, and the city council is more in the foreground.
Right, but why aren't these people taking the same opinion of the city council and saying, well, let's sweep off all the members of the school board and bring in some fresh blood,
I think if you read the editorial that they wrote, the Argus Courier, after...
I didn't. Tell us what it said.
Well,
Lulabelle,
you didn't see
it.
Tell us that editorial about you.
That is hilarious. They said... Petaluma High had, reason to believe she could have been going off script to talk about Hitler or fruitcakes.
What?
Yeah, I was like, that's ridiculous. So I wrote them this very angry email, and they, it was a mess.
She let them know that she was not there to bake angel food cake, and that she didn't like angel food cake. And so she...
I love angel food cake.
My favorite too, but that's okay.
The egg whites, mostly.
It's a lot of egg whites, especially with strawberry or toffee on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Eating the crunch off the top is the best.
That's bizarre.
But it was... To think that she, a woman that's going to Stanford, didn't have the education to understand the difference between Hitler and then that they just think that she was supposed to stay home and bake a cake.
Yeah, I mean, it's very strange to me because, yeah, you're a valedictorian. I mean, I think there's a level of trust that, you know, whether you deviate from script or not, you have a level of understanding of what's appropriate and what isn't.
Yeah.
And I saw your whole speech, the one that you posted on the video, and it seemed perfectly fine to me. I mean, it was legitimate. You didn't name names. You talked about your experience.
It was talking about everyone's experience and how they were going
exactly.
to, what was the word you would use?
Overcome. We didn't let it drag us
down.
Exactly.
You didn't let it drag us down. And when
each
time you said that, it was inspiring. Yeah. And then they drug you down by throwing the mic. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have to take just a short break, and we will be right back. back, and just want to let you know that you are listening to KPCA LP, Petaluma, California, at 103.3 FM. We do stream live at kpca.fm, and we are back. We have with us today Lula Bell Seitz as our guest. I'm Cindy Thomas, co-hosting with Jason Davies and Janice Cater Thompson, and we're all back.
That's good. I kind of want to talk about, I have three daughters. You know, they're age 40, 38, and 32. And they all have, their politics are the same, but they're very different. They're kind of tainted by politics because they've been seeing, you know, me in the political ring for about 25 years. So they have a lot of opinions. But each, my 40-year-old is more of a critical thinker about it. The 38-year-old is more emotional about it, and the 32-year-old is kind of living life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're 18 years old, and are you registered to vote? Are you becoming more engaged with what's going on at the, not just the local level, but at the state and the federal, and actually at the world level?
Well, I'm only 17, so
I'll give you that.
Almost. I'm waiting, and I'm going to register, like, the day I turn 18. But, yeah, I am really interested in politics. I watch the news every day. I read the news every day. And it's really interesting, everything that's happening, especially with, like, the presidential stuff and the primaries that are coming up and everything. Just, yeah.
What have you learned? I mean, what's your feelings about it? As somebody that's young, I mean, I know I've seen a lot of politics in my days, and I think of my mom and my parents, what they saw. And so, you know, you're young, and what do you think of what's going on?
It's really interesting. I've talked to a lot of people in my Stanford class, and it seems like the biggest issue they're concerned about is actually racism. And so I find that interesting because we think that in this era, we're sort of past the old racism, but it seems like it's coming back.
That's what, as I was talking earlier, in my neighborhood, there was some tagging. Mm. And what we found out is that they were trying to make it look like the Mexicans were tagging or the gang members. And it ends up being a Caucasian boy in the neighborhood that was doing this, and he happened to be caught, which was really lucky because we didn't know where all this tagging was coming from. And so there is a lot of racism. And unfortunately, the president has allowed it to come forward, and people are feeling emboldened.
Exactly.
And even in this community, you're seeing a lot of that. Even in the local election, the stuff that's being talked about, it's going to be just really interesting. And I think racism, it's interesting that young people are recognizing that racism is really the issue, because to me, that's the beauty of the United States is, your parents or grandparents were immigrants. My grandparents were immigrants. And I don't find, I don't see why people don't connect those dots. I have cousins who are just completely right-wing Trump supporters. And yet we were raised kind of in the same type of families. And it's really hard to believe. And the same community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, it is coming out of the woodwork. I think it was very taboo, as it should be, for a long time. I mean, as far as I remember, we fought a world war to defeat fascism and racism. Just locally, just recently, there's been some postings in Windsor and also at various places around Santa Rosa, I hear, from a white nationalist group. Something Europa. But apparently they're posting flyers around town and trying to recruit people, posting them near schools. So it's very disturbing, and we do need to stand up against that.
So. I think today, when I was reading yesterday's Argus today, I came across a blurb that there's going to be a forum, a city council and mayor forum, so the public can go and learn who the candidates are. And it's on September 17th, which is, the first day of Yom Kippur, which is the high holidays for the Jewish religion.
Who's sponsoring this?
The Chamber of Commerce and the Argus Courier. And so I wrote Matt Brown today, and I said, do you realize that this date is on Yom Kippur? And he wrote back, and he said, well, all the candidates said that was a good date for them. And I'm thinking, why would you even give them that as an option? Mm. That's the problem. And then the and you should have let the candidates know what date that was. And Petaluma has a long history of this. Being on the city council, we'd have to constantly say, if this is a holiday, mm-hmm. You know, can we have the meeting on a different day?
Right.
And then there'd be people, then it would be changed. But in 20-some-odd years, they haven't learned. And when when the newspaper doesn't understand this and the Chamber of Commerce, that's a little bit of racism, possibly. So, of course, I wrote my letter to the Anti-Defamation League this morning, and hopefully they're going to get on it and see if that date can be changed.
Well, at the very least, it's a lack of awareness. I don't know that it was intentional. I don't know that they said, let's pick this date, you know.
But the date, the calendars, you sure. have to look at the calendar.
Yeah.
This is a newspaper.
Yeah.
I keep going back to the editorial that they wrote on Lula Bell. I mean, this is a newspaper that should know before they write what the facts are. And instead, they muddled her editorial.
Right.
And then they can't even look at a date and recognize what the conflict is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not intentional.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think we can go there.
Right. Well, fortunately, Petaluma Community Access will be filming that forum. So you will not miss out
if
they don't change the date. So.
That's good. I mean, it's not like I'm a religious person, but
right. You
would not do this on Christmas and you would not do this on Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe the swearing in should be on Christmas this year.
Wow.
I do winter solstice.
Yeah, you know.
Axial tilt day.
I do anything just to have fun, you know. But,
yeah.
So that was one thing that was in the paper that was a little disturbing.
So when you look at the world, I mean, I remember when I was your age, and I remember the idealism, and I remember looking at all of the problems that needed to be solved and how I was going to try to help solve them. And, you know, we are where we are now. You obviously have a sense of optimism because you're doing stuff, you know, you're achieving things. You've got 3 novels, you said, you're doing the piano, you're going to Stanford, economics, mathematics. So I got to imagine that you're looking at all these problems in the world, instead of seeing them as unsolvable, you think they can be solved.
Yeah, I think so. And I think taking a few philosophy classes definitely gave me a good perspective on that. I think, especially in Petaluma, it wouldn't be too hard to solve at least the school issues, because really everything it comes down to is just the ruling of the school board. So if we just had a more open-minded school board and city council, yeah.
I read something scary on CNN's website, and it was an article. I'm sure you can find it on other websites as well, but it was a marine scientist who has been studying the Great Barrier Reef for many, many years. And it was a very bleak conclusion of the article. He basically said it's too late and that we're past this tipping point. And I didn't like that article because it just sort of made me feel like, wait a minute. There's got to be something we can do. There's got to still be some time to change things and make a better future. So the fact that you're optimistic gives me some optimism, and I imagine it must be hard, though, because you're looking at all of these problems that the generation before you and before that has sort of left for your generation to solve.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it's not the case that there's a problem that can't be solved. I think you can absolutely solve anything. It just could take a lot of time or a lot of different approaches.
Totally agree with you.
Just the fact that people don't want to solve the problems is the problem.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is the problem. And you get to a point where it's like, oh, we're past the tipping point. There's no hope. Let's go to Mars.
Yeah.
No. This is all we got. We've got to fix this. It's got to work. I'm not giving up. So.
Yeah.
Glad that you aren't as well.
Well, it's good to hear that, you know, because I have 6 grandkids. And I worry all the time about their future. And so this is great to hear. And they're always happy, you know, running around and having a good time. So something's going right.
So not to pry, you don't have to be specific, but you said that you're not of age to vote yet.
Yeah.
Will you be by November
6th? October 16 is when I turn 18.
Okay.
So. Well, and I want you, this is really important for people to know, when you're 16, you can actually register to vote now.
Oh, huh.
And so you register to vote at 16, and then by the time you're 18, you're already registered.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a new law.
So she can actually register
so
right
you
now.
Could, if I had, so if I had a registration card in my car.
Oh, yeah, I got one with me right here.
Oh,
sorry. I left it at home.
No, you can go. You can do it today. It doesn't have to be on your birthday.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, where do you get those from?
I will get you one.
Post office.
You can go to the post office. Usually you can go to City Hall and get one, but the post office is the easiest mm-hmm. way. But I'll make sure I get
you can,
one.
Can you do it online?
You know what? I think maybe you can, but I'm not sure.
You
can't
vote online, but I think register. Oh,
I think you can check your registration. I'm not sure if you...
I'm not sure about that.
You know, you might be able to, and I should know that. And talking about that, on Sunday the 2nd, from 1 to 3, Petaluma is the town for the Sonoma County Democratic headquarters for this election cycle.
For the entire Sonoma County.
For the entire Sonoma County, the headquarters is in Petaluma. And it's going to be where the old First Edition Bar was, if people know that.
Nice.
But it's in back of Staples in the Washington Square Shopping Center. So right in where Staples loading dock is, that's where the building is.
It used to be in Santa Rosa all the time. What made the change?
Because somebody offered the building at a good price.
That's great.
And so that's what it was. It was kind of a semi-donation, and so it was just a really good deal. And that was actually where the Hillary headquarters was a few years ago.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so it's really a really good venue to use. The shopping center has been great, you know, having people pick up our garbage and coming in and cleaning it up for us. It's great. It's a good symbiotic right. relationship.
So anyone can go to this?
Anybody can go to it. It's from 1 to 3. It's an open house.
Sunday,
the 2nd of September.
Oh, that's coming right up.
That's right around
that's the this Sunday.
That's this Sunday.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
So we're hoping people really, you know, show up and, you know, just check out the headquarters. You can come and you can register to vote that day.
Oh, just do that.
Yeah.
And what time is it opening?
It's open from 1 to 3 is the open house.
Okay.
And so there'll be elected officials from, you know, throughout Sonoma County, and people that are running for office will be there.
Is it a kind of a party atmosphere?
It's like a party atmosphere. Oh, yeah. I'm doing part of the food.
Oh, that'll be
yeah.
fun.
And so, you know, we'll have hors d'oeuvres and, you know, food and drinks. And the community is welcomed. And then this is where we're doing a lot of texting right now for candidates in California and out of California, doing a lot for Beto O'Rourke in Texas, trying to get Ted Cruz out. And
that's great.
And so, and there's people that do postcards there. Women, you know, come throughout the county and men and write postcards out and just, you know, get to know your who's been endorsed by the
I hope we don't get any vandalism there.
When Hillary was there, it was kind of scary. A few times you had some of the kids with the big trucks and the American flags hanging and driving around, but it was fine.
Somebody told me that election signs are already going missing in town.
Yes,
candidate.
I heard that one of the mayoral candidates, Teresa Barrett, had a large sign stolen.
Well, and she also had, it's interesting because I was putting up some signs the other day, and she had some of her signs riveted into these fences. And I know that that was not a place a sign should have been. Mm. So it told me that somebody stole the sign, they cut it in half and used either piece. And then they riveted it into the fence, so we took it down because I think it was done. It wasn't done through her campaign.
Mm. You think it was done just to try to get her in trouble or something?
Sometimes
I need to get you some water.
Sometimes they'll go ahead and do that, and the purpose of doing that is to say that you have too many signs up to say that this person wasn't supporting me, and you put a sign up on their fence.
Well, that's bizarre.
Yeah, so...
Well, shenanigans happen in elections. It's funny, a friend of mine once asked me when I was running for council, he said, why are you spending money on signs? It's so much easier to just pull the opponents down. I'm like, no, we don't work that way.
Is that illegal, too?
It's totally illegal.
Yeah.
He was joking, but it almost sounded like, well, that's what I would do. I'm like, no, man, I don't play like that.
Yeah, that's serious stuff.
Oh, yeah, you can't do stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes people don't you know, they don't know what they're talking
about. Well, yeah, and yeah. I mean, when I ran in 2004, my crew who went out to put my signs up inadvertently placed my big sign on a fence on the corner of D and Lakeville.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know what we're talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
I got a phone call within 15 minutes that I had 15 minutes to go get that sign down.
Yep.
We were there in 10 minutes, and the sign was already destroyed.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, sometimes it's well-meaning assistance of the campaign, and they're just not realizing the process. You have to ask permission. You can't just post signs
exactly.
anywhere.
My crew saw that other people's signs were up there and thought, well, that would be okay to put mine up also, not knowing that it belonged to a particular developer in town. So
I saw actually the weirdest thing. I think this might have been the last election cycle. It was like towards the end of the campaign when everyone's getting ready to vote. It might have been like 2 days before election day or something. And all of a sudden I'm seeing these signs on public places, like on streets and things where you're really not supposed to do that. But I think sometimes people will even do this knowing it's not the right thing, but just whatever, you know, we can get away with it. It's so close to the election.
Yeah.
So you have to watch it. Got to play fair.
Yeah, I mean, sign placement is, it's really interesting watching where all the big signs are, whose property they're on. And, you know, there are strings attached to those big signs in those locations.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. You can follow the money. You can go to the City of Petaluma website and all of the reporting. In fact, we're going to have the links on our website shortly to make it convenient for people. It'll be insidepetaluma.com. But you can do this right now. You can go to the City of Petaluma website, and you can see the reports from all the candidates. You can see where they're getting their money. And, you know, it's interesting because there's definitely a correlation. You can watch where the signs are placed. You can see, you know, there's a lot of vacant lots that are yet to be developed. And you can look and see, you know, those candidates' signs, where the funding's going, and then you can look and see how they vote. So.
They can also hold money back, and they can have money promised.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get all of your literature paid for, the signs, you know, made,
mm-hmm.
but they're not paid for until after the election because they're trying to hide who's giving the money.
And yes.
Yeah, so that's been happening for a lot.
That shouldn't be allowed, actually.
It should not be allowed, and you really should have campaign limits. And, you know, one of the mayor candidates is going to have probably $100,000 for this election.
Why?
Because $100,000 buys a lot.
I mean, honestly, that's so much.
That's a lot of money.
Think how many potholes we could fix with that.
Well, and
probably
have,
not as many as
you make $10 a meeting, and you're spending $100,000. Where's the money coming from? What's the purpose of the money? The sign placements, does that have anything to do with it? And I think people just look at signs and they worry if the other candidate doesn't have a lot of signs. They're not allowed to put their signs on those areas.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
And those big signs cost a lot of money.
And
that's
cost
why
a
you
lot
don't
of money.
See some of the candidates with those great big signs.
Well,
I had a big sign stolen 19 years ago or something. And it's funny because it reappeared 4 years ago on the Deer Creek site. And I get a call from Deer Creek that said, oh, you got to take your sign down. And I said, what sign? And I look and I go, oh, my God, that thing was stolen 16 years ago. And so, you know, somebody in town had that for all these years. The police department got one fingerprint but would not check out the fingerprint. But they got one good thumbprint, and wouldn't do anything about it.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm already starting to get sign fatigue. I think some candidates don't do big signs simply because they think they're distasteful. But it's a tricky one because it's marketing, it's exposure, it's number of impressions.
Right.
And obviously, if you got more of them, it creates this sense of inevitability. And I think that's why candidates do it.
Well, I'd like to see, you know, a sign ordinance that you really didn't have big signs. Mm. Or you had them in certain areas and everybody can put their sign there. It's just...
Or maybe limit them only to residences.
Or exactly.
Because that is telling when you see some candidates that tend to have more of their signs in individual residences. And then you go and you look and you see that more of their donations are coming from Petaluma residents as opposed to outside of Petaluma
right.
Developers. And so, you know, all that stuff matters when you're trying to decide who to vote for, because ultimately we hope that our elected officials are acting in our best interest, the public interest, and are, you know, approving projects with the mitigations that are sensible and are going to give us good projects that that we can live with.
Well, I think, you know, when you're talking about projects, one of the big problems I have with one of the candidates with the big sign that's an independent voted against bike paths. And so now people with their children have to go on Lakeville as the bike route when you could have been off Lakeville. So they voted against that, and it just doesn't make any sense. And that's why I always go back to strings attached with those signs, with those placements. There are definitely signs attached and, or, you know, strings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate because you can be
the one who brung you.
Well, that's right. You can be a really good person, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're representing the community if you're only representing the Chamber of Commerce, the developers, and the Argus Courier.
So, are you going to still be in Petaluma when it's time to vote, or you're already going to be down in Palo Alto?
I'm going to be in Palo Alto, but...
But are you going to register here so you can vote in a local election?
Yes, I plan.
You're going to vote for your mom?
Yeah.
You better vote for your mom. Definitely vote for her. If you don't vote for her, don't tell her you didn't vote for her.
I think she's a good candidate, actually.
Well, tell us about her.
Yeah, I mean, she has been really involved in the PTA and everything, and she's seen the side of the people who are running the schools that most people haven't seen, and most people wouldn't take the action to change that because they just haven't seen it. So she has gotten racist comments by some, like, a certain administrator at the school, and she does know about all the nepotism, and I know about all the hidden funds and how they spent a lot of money on their coffee that they shouldn't be spending. They should spend it on books.
Coffee?
So, yeah. So hundreds of dollars.
So you've actually reviewed their budgets to see how they're spending?
I was the student body treasurer, so I had access to all financial documents.
There you go.
So. And she knows how to read them.
Yeah, and she knows math. She knows
exactly,
how to count.
Exactly, exactly.
So, yeah, I do think people should vote for her because she does want to change these things. She doesn't really have any other incentive to be on the school board because, yeah, I mean, I do have a little sister in Petaluma City Schools.
Oh,
but
that's important.
Yeah, it's not to push any sort of
agenda.
Yeah,
that's actually, I have heard some people say that, just cavalierly throw out, oh, yeah, her mom's running and it's pretty much a single issue. I don't know where that comes from, but I don't buy it.
Yeah.
In fact, your endorsement of her, I mean, I'm already sold. So I'll be voting for your mom for sure.
Yeah. I would just vote for the new candidates, honestly, just because we've seen that the people who have been in the school board haven't done a good job, or else all of this stuff wouldn't have happened how it has. So I think we need new people.
Well, when you're on a school board, you know, I know being on a city council, you know, people will say, oh, well, we can't get involved in that. It's up to the administration, it's the city manager. But I believe if you were elected, you have a voice, and you're our voice. The city manager is not my voice. And so I really believe that it's important that our elected officials represent the community. And once you're on a board, you see things a little bit differently also, because you see how it works. It's not as cut and dry as people want to make it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's tough being on a board. You don't want to be sued. There's all kinds of, you have a lot of responsibilities to your community.
Yeah. And we're running out of time, unfortunately. So I want to thank Lulabelle for being here. I guess
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
we're,
you so
we
much,
all thank
Lulabelle.
You. Yeah, everybody here. It's always nice to have some young people in here with us.
It would be great to have her back after, you know, 6 months at Stanford and get another perspective. What clubs are you involved in? What are you doing socially?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that's really it. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Inside Petaluma. I'm a host, Cindy Thomas, along with Jason Davies and Janice Cater-Thompson. We're here every Friday at 11, so do come back. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Ed Perlstein, your host for Jazz. To make the perfect jazz cocktail, you take some John Coltrane, mix in a bunch of Miles Davis, and a pinch of Herbie Hancock. Shake and enjoy. Get Jazz every Monday at 4 p.m. on KPCA 103.3 FM or www.kpca.fm online. Free Range Radio KPCA is a nonprofit, low-power community radio station. Through member programming, the station promotes diversity and a window to the unique personalities in our community.
Our mission is to promote freedom of expression, provide access to communication tools, and to foster the use of media and technology to better benefit Petaluma.
For more information about KPCA and how to get involved, visit kpca.fm.
I'm Naomi Takeuchi, and I'm the Movie Muse. If you like the movies, we'll have a chance to chat about films that are screening and have special guests as well. If you want to engage in the film industry and be inspired, tune into my show, The Movie Muse, Sundays at 6:30 p.m. on KPCA 103.3 FM or www.kpca.fm.
Thank you for listening to KPCA, Petaluma's Free Range Radio. KPCA is a community radio station that highlights the creativity of individuals. Let your voice be heard and become a programmer. If you have something to say and want to get involved, visit us at kpca.fm or call 707-773-3190.
KPCA LP, Petaluma, California.